Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and this is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We're online also at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com. God brought Israel out of Egyptian slavery. There's even been movies made about that. The most famous probably is the Ten Commandments movie from years ago. And of course, they took some liberties with the way they portrayed that. But it's history that people certainly are somewhat aware of. And after they came out of Egypt, God then brought them to Mount Sinai. Now, what happened at Mount Sinai is very important history, and it is very important for us today as well. Sometimes people look at the Old Testament as something that doesn't apply to us today, but it very much does. There is a lot to learn from the Old Testament. Malachi 4 and verse 4, let's notice this passage to start. We have a few passages to look at today, and so if you have a Bible, it'd be great to get it out, and we could go through these passages together. Malachi 4 and verse 4, it says, "Remember you the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments." So that's another name for Sinai there. God gave laws and statutes and judgments to Israel at Mount Sinai. Now, those laws were in effect before Mount Sinai, but he also gave them to Israel at that time. Exodus 19, let's look at this passage. We'll see exactly what happened historically at Mount Sinai. Exodus 19, and we'll look at verses 3 through 8. It says, "And Moses went up unto God, and the Eternal called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shall you say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for the earth is mine." And verse 6 says, "And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and an holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak unto the children of Israel." And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Eternal commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, "All that the Eternal has spoken we will do." And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Eternal. So this is a very good start at Mount Sinai. And Moses gave the words of God to the Israelite people, and Israel responded and said, "We'll do it. You know, we want to be this peculiar treasure above all people on the earth." They wanted to be God's chosen nation. And so there is a covenant there. They had to keep it. They had to obey the law that God had laid before them, and they said they would do it. Let's notice further in Leviticus 26 and verse 12. Leviticus 26 and verse 12, it says, "And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and you shall be my people." And so that's what God was offering them. If they obeyed his law, the best that they could, the letter of the law, they didn't have God's spirit yet, but if they obeyed in the letter, then God would walk among them. He would be their God, and they would be his people. So this was a really great opportunity for Israel. What nation wouldn't want God to be among them and to be leading them and directing them? The correspondence course, which is free at thetrumpet.com, you can get that and sign up for it. It says, "God called Israel his people, yet he did not make them his nation under his theocratic rule without their consent. Through Moses, God proposed to the children of Israel a covenant agreement, which centuries later came to be known as the Old Covenant. The covenant with Israel at Sinai was a type and forerunner of the new covenant, The latter was to be made with the New Testament church, which is spiritual Israel. The people agreed to the terms of the covenant, and thus they became God's chosen nation. But why? God's purpose for them had a definite relation to preparing for the ultimate kingdom of God, when the government of God will be reestablished over all the earth, and spiritual salvation will be offered to all. So the history of Israel really has a lot of important lessons for the whole world. Everybody, whether a person is of Israelitish descent or any person on this earth, because God does want to offer salvation to every single person. And there's a lot that we learn by looking at Israel and how they fared and what they did in their walk with God. If physical Israel obeyed God, they would receive physical blessings. If you want to sort of boil down the old covenant, that's what we're talking about. Physical Israel had a law in front of them, the law of God. If they obeyed it, then God would give them physical blessings. This was not a covenant that had anything to do with salvation. This was about being God's physical nation on this earth. And the blessings included being blessed in the city, blessed in the field, the fruit of the body or the children, fruit of the ground, food, victories in war, and so forth. You can read more about that in Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26. It talks about some of these blessings and some curses that would come too if the people didn't obey God. So God gave them a choice. And initially there at Mount Sinai, they said they would follow God's law. Notice Deuteronomy 4, verses 5 through 8. It says, "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Eternal, my God, commanded me, that you should do so in the land where you go to possess it." So Moses talking to Israel here. He says, "Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, 'Surely, this great nation is a wise and understanding people.'" I mean, we want people to say that about us, don't we? Well, this is a wise and an understanding people. What makes a people wise? What makes them have understanding? Well, it is the statutes and the laws of God and the judgments. They come from the mind of God. It doesn't get any wiser than that. And so if we're going to be wise today, then we have to be following the law of God. Remember, we read there in Malachi to start. It said, "Remember the law of Moses." Okay, now, obviously it's God's law, but he gave it to Moses to give to the children of Israel. Remember that. Keep it. Because that's wisdom. That's understanding. And that's where we get it from, is from the law of God, from keeping it, not just having it on our wall, or remembering it in the sense of we were able to say it back to somebody, but in applying it and in doing it, that is where we get the wisdom and the understanding that we all want. Continuing here in Deuteronomy 4 and verse 7, it says, "For what nation is there so great who has God so near unto them as the Eternal our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day?" So this is a really interesting thing to think about. How do we view the law of God? How do we view his Ten Commandments, his statutes, his judgments, his holy days, his weekly Sabbath? How do we view those things? Do we view them in this way, where we just say, "Wow, I mean, what nation is there so great that has God so near unto them? And what nation is there so great that has the statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law?" Society does not like law today. It doesn't like the law of God, but this is a spectacular law. So we have to have the right perspective about God's law. It's easy to have a wrong perspective about it and say, "Well, I have to keep it or I'm going to get in trouble," and have that sort of a mentality. But here, it's laid out. Look, this is an amazing law. This is wisdom. This is understanding. This is greatness. Who doesn't want to be great? Oftentimes today, and probably over the years as well, you know, people want to talk about who the greatest is in any endeavor. It might be an athletic competition or something else. And who's the greatest? Who's the greatest of all time? Well, to be great, really, it is to have the law of God and to keep it. We need to keep the law of God. If Israel had obeyed God, they would have been blessed and they would have been an example to other nations. And then other nations would follow physical Israel's example and be blessed also. I mean, God wanted people to look at Israel and say, oh, hang on a second, look at how blessed they are. They have all these wonderful blessings. How do they do that? How are they so blessed? And then Israel could say to them, well, we follow this law, this amazing law. And then other nations would again say, wow, we're going to follow that law too because we want those same blessings. But unfortunately, Israel didn't have success. Israel was also warned by God that they would have curses. They were warned of what curses would befall them if they sinned and if they broke God's law. You can read about those in Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26. Blessings and cursings. Blessings for obedience. Cursings for disobedience. And some of the curses include terror. I mean, and as I mentioned some of these, and you can read them yourself there in Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26, but just think about some of the problems we face in our nations today. These are the curses that would come if people didn't obey God's law. Terror or terrorism. Consumption. Enemies would take their wealth and reign over them. The pride of their power would be broken. Strength spent in vain. Droughts, famines. Wild beasts, and ultimately national enslavement and death. Those are some of the things that God said would come upon Israel if Israel wasn't obeying. And if we look at our nations today, we do see some of those same problems, don't we? Terrorism especially. Enemies taking wealth and reigning over them. We have all sorts of problems at the border and other issues beyond just that. Pride of the power would be broken. That's a massive curse. You know, the United States today has incredible power, yet isn't as effective in using it, especially in recent years. These are some of the curses that God said would come upon Israel if they didn't keep that law. Notice Deuteronomy 30, and we'll read a couple passages here. Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 through 20. It says, "See, I have set before you this day life and good, and death and evil. In that I command you this day to love the Eternal your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Eternal your God shall bless you in the land where you go to possess it." So there was a choice that God offered Israel here. And really, when we look at the law of God today, he's offering us that same choice. Do we want to choose life and good? Or do we want to choose death and evil? Well, nobody would choose death and evil, but there is a way, again, that seems right to a man, but it ends in death. So we have to be careful to make sure we are keeping the law of God. Verse 17 says, "But if your heart turn away," so here's this other side of it, "if your heart turn away so that you will not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land where you go, where you pass over Jordan to go to possess it." He says in verse 19, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both you and your seed may live." That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to choose life. But the choice is set before all of us, life and death, blessing or cursing. And it has everything to do with God's law. The Correspondence Course says that God laid everything out before the children of Israel. He gave them his law, which they were to obey, and detailed exactly what would happen if they chose to obey or to disobey. If they would obey his laws and submit to his government, he would prosper them, making them the wealthiest and most powerful of nations. But notice it says, in all this that God promised, only national and material blessings. There was no promise of eternal life. He did not offer them spiritual salvation. And the old covenant was a covenant that offered material blessings for obedience to God. National and material blessings. There was no salvation offered to ancient Israel, but still that law of God was in effect, and if they followed it, they would have been blessed physically. And of course, it's even more important for those that God has called today, because not only are there physical blessings, but eternal salvation is offered for obedience to God. And of course, nobody's perfect. That's why Christ had to be sacrificed for sin, but we are to be growing and conquering sin. Ancient Israel, they were not able to do that. What choice did Israel make? What did they do? Well, let's look at Exodus 32, and we'll read verses 1 through 5. And you can see it didn't take long for Israel to go the wrong direction. It says, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron, and they said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in your ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made a molten calf. And they said, These be your gods, O Israel, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt." It's amazing how quickly people forget. Israel had seen the miracles God had done, and yet it didn't take long, and they were already willing to worship some idols. Verse 5 says, "And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Eternal." And so here Israel broke the first and second commandments already. And I think there's a great point here as well, that sometimes today people will say that they keep certain religious observances that are not biblical, and they'll say, "Well, that's how I worship God. That's how I do it. You know, as long as we're worshiping God, it doesn't much matter how we do it." Well, was that the case here? No. I mean, they did have a feast unto the Eternal, but it wasn't one of God's feasts. It was idolatry. It was idolatry. Is it okay to worship God any which way we choose? Well, not according to the Bible, it's not. God gave Israel not only commandments, but very specific days to keep and ways to worship him. It's not okay to do it any which way we want. And so Israel got into idolatry very quickly. The Correspondence Course says, "Soon after the Israelites entered into a covenant relationship with God, promising to obey him, they forgot the God who had spoke to them directly and who had miraculously delivered them from slavery in Egypt." And you can see in verses 10 through 14 that Moses interceded for Israel. He was a very meek man, and he did plead for them. God did not destroy all of them for their rebellion. But if you go on and read the rest of the chapter, you do see that, in fact, there were quite a few Israelites that died very quickly for this sin. And so we don't want to think that God's mercy makes it all right to sin. You know, God's merciful, and thankfully he does give us space to repent. That's why Christ came and was sacrificed for the sins of mankind, so that people can have a chance to repent. But again, that doesn't make it all right to sin. God still, is very clear that the wages of sin is death, and so we want to be repenting and not staying in sin. Some of these Israelites died very quickly for their sin. The Correspondence Course says, "In the second year after leaving Egypt, when Israel had reached the wilderness of Paran, God commanded Moses to send out 12 scouts to Canaan." So this is a little further down the road, and they were still having problems with rebellion. against God's law. Notice Numbers 13, verse 32 says, "And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." So here's a real exaggeration of some of the giants in the land. The giants were large, they were big people, but they were not that big. 10 of the spies really made the problem even bigger than what it was. Caleb and Joshua, though, they did not bring back an evil report. They were excited to get into the promised land. They were excited to obey God and follow him. Notice Numbers 14. It says, "And the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night." And then it says, "All the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness." It says, "And wherefore has the Eternal brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, so that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?" And they said one to another, "Let us make a captain, let us return to Egypt." But notice Joshua and Caleb, they said this, in verse 9, "Only rebel not you against the Eternal, neither fear you the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Eternal is with us. Fear them not." And that's the attitude that we need to have when we're facing trials and challenges. You know, there are trials that are large, but the people that were in rebellion against God, they were making these problems out to be insurmountable, huge. And the reality is, as Caleb and Joshua said, well, the Eternal is with us. They can go ahead and take that promised land. Remember, if they kept God's law, people would have said, wow, you know, the Eternal is with this nation. And God was with them, even though they were struggling to obey his law. He was with them for a time, and he did deliver them many, many times. And he did give them the promised land. The correspondence course says that because the people of Israel refused to go forward in faith to possess the promised land, God sentenced them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years until everyone 20 years of age and over, except the two faithful scouts, Joshua and Caleb, died. And hence that generation of Israelites was not allowed to enter the promised land, but their children entered the land of Canaan under the leadership of Joshua. And so when we look at some of this history, what do we learn? Well, we learn that success or failure for Israel was determined by one thing. Would they obey God or would they disobey him? And it's the same for us today. We can learn that lesson by looking at Old Testament Israel. God always keeps his promises. He kept his promises. But men and women, we too often turn away from God. That was the problem. That was the problem, even in terms of the Old Covenant, when it's written about in the New Testament. Well, the problem with it was that the people didn't obey it. Again, it was a physical covenant, physical blessings, national blessings for obeying God's law. But they didn't obey God's law. God fulfills his end of the bargain. The people, they did not fulfill their end. So we want to remember that the history teaches us this extremely important lesson. For us personally, success or failure is determined still by only one thing. Will we obey God or will we disobey him? We need to make sure that we are obeying God. And when we do, we can have incredible success. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live by Every Word. Thanks for spending some time with me. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.